Welcome to Orange Country.
New season.
We are. Look at us.
We have a backdrop, a brick.
A brick.
Uh-huh.
Now we're not just, these aren't painted walls.
Nope.
Actually, I think it's a wallpaper.
It actually is painted.
It's a wallpaper.
But you know, it doesn't matter.
That's an upgrade.
Nobody's zooming in.
That's an upgrade.
Yes, it is.
Look at that.
And we have this logo between us.
Logo. That's legitimate.
I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too. And I, this is one of the most fun things that I think I do.
Me too.
For me, this is like my mental, it's like my therapy.
It is almost like therapy.
And it makes me laugh. And I like that as well.
What? We haven't seen each other.
I know, which is so pathetic because I literally came to Santa Barbara and you weren't there. You're always traveling. I was like, this is it. I'm finally going to get to go see Shane and I'm going to like feed an ostrich with him and it's going to be amazing.
That ostrich place.
That's very intense.
That's in Solvang, if anyone wants to go.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I do recommend it.
I loved
all
it
the
too.
Things I did.
It's $3. That's the part I can't get over, is that there's still something in this world you could take your kids to do and pay $3 for a ticket.
It's incredible.
And yeah, I mean, it's just ostriches, but $3.
Right. And like, not just ostriches.
I would pay that for like
they're
chickens.
They're not like sheep. No. They're not everywhere.
Nope.
And we did chase chickens too at the Zaka farm. That was incredible. I have to actually set you up with these people. So the Zaka farm, they also have a coffee company. So I was like, this is my dream come true. I love you guys. But they're the husband and wife and they own the whole land. It was like such a wonderful experience. And they're actually, fun fact, the wife, her brother is Andrew Firestone, who was on The Bachelor.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the Firestone family. But I had no clue when we were going. So I was like, oh my God, that's the only
season of The Bachelor. Is the Firestone family the tire?
Yes, the tire people.
Awesome.
Yes. So, and they were lovely, lovely people. And they
have
tires. Beautiful,
good tires.
Great, solid tires.
Yeah.
For sure. Reliable.
So even though people won't hear this for a while, since we haven't seen each other, I heard you mention when we were setting up your New Year's resolution. Your resolution was to drink more water.
No, it was just to drink water.
Just period. Just started.
Just drink water.
So how's that going? I see you have water. It's not been drank.
The standard cup. I'll let you know. I've bought every product that Stanley has to offer. And
so you'll drink water?
None of them make me drink. Yeah,
I bought it intention
to drink water. I was like, maybe I need the gigantic one. And then I was like, you know what? No, I need the little one because then I'll like refill it and be more.
What is the deal with the Stanley cup? Let's talk about that.
I don't know. My kids are obsessed though.
I think it's funny saying Stanley Cup because isn't that the hockey thing? Like
you
win the Stanley Cup.
Yes, you do.
Are they related?
No. Stanley actually, you know, it was originally like a worker bee brand. It was like your dad would go to work and it was the one that you twisted off the top, the lid, and the lid then acted as the cup. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, like the little coffee.
Yes. So I actually do enjoy that Stanley brand has like, you know, they've made it through the test of time, but also like reinvented themselves.
Somebody has done some major
rebranding.
Yeah, that's
whoever
insane.
Went
I was
there.
Thinking about that, like, God, this person.
That was a Gen Zer for sure.
And they made it to where there's this idea that they're hard to get or that there's a limited supply.
They are hard to get.
But is that because they had to have, it's like the Beanie Baby. I watched that movie.
Oh my God, me too.
And so, you know, they figured out like if they said, oh, this is a collector's item, that then people went and tried to find them. And then you legitimately couldn't find them, which caused a frenzy.
Right.
Isn't that sort of what's happened here?
I guess. I mean, I would have to see the documentary before I can know for sure.
On the Beanie Baby?
No, on the Stanley
Cup. Is there a documentary?
One's probably going to come, right?
Good point, good point.
Let's see. We'll
I got to catch up with
you.
That was
how this ends.
That was logical what you just did. And I was just like, there's a documentary?
But it's, well, if it crashes and burns, there will be. Or just in general, you know, that Beanie Baby one was real. First of all.
Well, I'm talking about the movie.
I know, me too.
Zach Galifianakis. It wasn't a documentary.
It was a movie. Yeah, it was phenomenal. But it makes me feel like I don't understand why. Like they're such dopes. Like, why aren't I rich? Like, this is where I'm starting. If all of these people can make all of these things
happen.
It
is what, well, you know, it's what we talk about. It's not about hustle, even though I think hustle is part of it with these people because they just tried so many times. And they also believed that hustling would get it done.
Yeah.
It's just that it was, they decided. I mean, I really believe that as ridiculous as the Stanley Cup frenzy may be, or what the Beanie Baby thing was, mm-hmm. he just kept trying.
Yeah.
And he was sort of seemingly delusional.
Like, yeah, which helps.
And determined. Absolutely.
It really helps.
Because what people call delusion is actually acting as if.
Yeah.
It's like, this is it. Look at this $1 billion idea I have. And you're like, it's a stuffed lion.
Right.
I'm not sure that that is, you know, rocket science.
He was sure.
But when you sell the dream and then people buy into it, that's a really interesting, you know, way to look at manifesting law of attraction from a different angle. It's not new. Mm-mm. We're just new language.
The problem for him was that then when he achieved his dreams and goals, he became so selfish in wanting to get all the credit for it that he missed the mark in being able to relinquish some of the control to the people that were helping him to get him there in the first place. And that, I think, is a really good lesson for people.
Like, I will say this about him. They don't go into it in the movie, it's got the great moment of drama at the end where it's like Beanie Babies fell apart. He lost all this. He's a billionaire still. He owns most of Santa Barbara.
I want to meet him. We should have him on.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
He's just like probably so interesting.
You know, he's a character. He's in his 80s.
Yeah, or Zach Galifianakis. I mean, I'd take either.
I would definitely take either.
If we got Zach to come, I would want him to be in character.
Maybe they could do each other. Probably. I mean, interview each other.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them do each other.
Well, maybe. I mean.
Get ratings. Can you imagine? If all the downloads or listens we got when you talked about Shannon, multiply that times like a billion if we got to see Zach Galifianakis do Ty Warner.
Yes.
I mean, imitate, whatever.
Life. Imitating art, imitating life.
Do you have, what's on that screen? Is it the same stuff that's on this paper? Just ideas and stuff?
It is.
Are you trying to get an endorsement from Apple?
Yeah.
By showing that on camera?
I am. It's on its way. They're sending the check in the mail.
You would probably have a better chance of like an Android.
I know.
Can we talk about Androids?
Yeah. Well, I like to call them droids because that's how I refer to the people that use them. I'm like, you're a droid.
Your face.
You're a droid.
When you send a text and it's green.
It's gross.
It really is.
What is it? A bullet.
Just go ahead
and
bite the bullet and make that text blue.
I have to tell you.
Go get an Apple product. I feel like people.
A droid.
Travis is.
I know, I'm sorry. But he also does have an iPhone because I made him get an iPhone because I was like, people aren't going to want to talk to you.
Oh, I have some of my favorite people are droids. And I'm always like, I feel like they've just decided I'm not changing.
They're stubborn.
I'm not changing.
Droid people are stubborn.
Just because the world has.
Mm-hmm.
You won't change me.
They're the holdouts.
It's like, I mean, I feel like when I see that green message, it's the same as someone asking me if I want Pepsi instead of Coke. If I say, I'll have a Coke, and they say, is Pepsi okay? And I say, is Monopoly money okay? I do not want a Pepsi.
You're pro-Coke.
It's pro-Coke, and I'm sorry. I mean, if Pepsi wants to endorse us, great. I'll change my tune in a heartbeat and tell everybody how great it is. But I'm of the firm belief that if someone likes Pepsi over Coke, they've never tasted a Coke.
Okay, so that's interesting that you say that because I understand that people take the Pepsi Coke thing very seriously. And I have always been a person that in my head, I thought I liked Coca-Cola more, but I don't like pay attention to the difference, right? I've never like take the time to really acknowledge that.
I think we should do a taste test. Not
well,
right
we
now,
definitely
but I
do
want
a taste
to do that with you. That would be so fun. Put them behind a little cardboard. And
see which one's which. Well, because also I was in a Del Taco recently. I was just with Travis in a Del Taco.
I thought you were going to say you were in a Del Taco commercial. For some reason, that's what I thought.
No, but call me.
I wish you were.
Del Taco. Hit up your girl. because I love Del Taco. And they have sent me a gift card once. So thank you, Del Taco. I do love you.
I want them to do that thing on our podcast where they edit all this. And when you look at the camera and you say Del Taco, that like some graphic comes around you that You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and it's like, bing.
I feel like that's next. That's like next level.
A little moving taco.
That's next level.
We need that.
We do need that. We would be so funny if we had animation.
I think we do. I think that's part of our upgrade.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I mean, I guess when people are just listening, they wouldn't be able to see the
taco. Well, in our social content.
Yeah, but anyway, sorry.
Okay, I was in this Del Taco, and I filled up my cup, and it was a Pepsi, you know, product place.
Oh, that pisses me off.
But I'm telling you, it was the first time ever that I drank it, and you're not going to like this. I was like, this tastes really good. And really? I was like, maybe I actually have a preference and maybe it's Pepsi.
I don't know. It's not that.
So now I'm confused. So now I feel that we should do that.
I do want to do a taste test with you.
Okay. We should definitely.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I should do it too because I'm so steadfast in this and I'm so positive. But I do feel like just to, you know, prove to myself that I haven't just, my grandmother drank Coke when I was a kid. It was like her go-to Coca-Cola, the real thing. And
like with the Coke, like when it used to have actual cocaine in it. Yeah, like
my grandmother was a Coke addict. No, but there was a period of time in the 80s where Pepsi was gaining a lot of popularity. So Coke changed their formula and it was called New Coke. You can look this up. It was a huge deal and it flopped huge, which is why Coca-Cola now says classic, because it went back because everyone was pissed.
Oh, wait, this was just a mistake. We're fine.
Exactly.
We're fine. And we're not going to change it.
And what's funny is that I remember my grandmother saying, I don't like New Coke. It tastes like Pepsi to me. And so it's always been in my mind that maybe, you know, maybe I need to see, but I'm positive.
It's
when
they tried to do the diet potato chips and then everybody had anal leakage. Remember that?
It's exactly like that.
It was exactly like that. And then the people are like, don't fix the potato chips. Like, we understand what it is. And
yeah, we know what we're getting.
Have the fat, not the anal leakage. Thank you. Remember that?
That was, I remember it well.
That was weird.
I ate all of those diet chips. If there's a diet product, I've done it.
You're in.
And those were called Olean.
Olean, yes. Yeah, you did. You Olean to the side a lot, you know, like in pain.
Oh my God. I even used to sing, because you would live on the toilet if you ate those.
Oh my God.
And I used to sing Olean to the tune of Jolene, the Dolly song.
Oh my God.
And it was
that
just
is
like,
amazing.
Olean, Olean, Olean. And it was because I was just sitting there thinking, please God, instead of please don't take my man, it was please take this diarrhea.
Please don't take my intestines with you. Thank you.
Are we on topic?
All right, we are a
little
off,
but tell me what we're doing.
We're going to report the news. Let's report the news today. This is an interesting fun fact that we have to discuss, and I do think this is a very real thing.
I actually also saw a couple of things I wanted to talk about.
In the news? Yeah. Okay, well, this is one of them. So this was an article that was written. It's titled, Nearly Half of Millennials and Gen Z Suffer from Money Dysmorphia. Have you heard of money dysmorphia before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's defined as having a distorted view of finances and struggling to make smart financial decisions. Okay. And in a nutshell, it's basically this idea that social media has convinced 22-year-old kids that they should have vacations on the Amalfi Coast, Louis Vuitton bags, and HGTV kitchens before they've earned it. Mm-hmm. And so they're reporting in that money dysmorphia by generation, the statistics are 25% of Gen X suffers from this, 41% of millennials, and 43% of Gen Zers. You're a Gen Xer. So you're 1965 to 1980. That's
How dare you.
Right? I'm hanging on in the millennial era. So, but 41%. And I would say personally, like, this is absolutely a thing. And I can personally attest to this by the fact that, like, look, I'm 39. You know, I'm not even 40. I started on the show when I was 33 years old.
Yeah.
I had just gone through a divorce. I was barely an adult. And then I move into this really beautiful condo, right, to restart my life and whatever. And like, the amount of judgment that I get, like, about where I live and all of that, to me is crazy. Like,
is that real?
Crazy.
Is that real? Oh, to me, it made you likable.
Well, because it kind of goes with this,
when you say the amount of judgment, was it judgment from your co-stars or was it judgment from the public? because they expect you guys to be super rich if you're on that, show.
That is what I think it is like the public does have this expectation. And I get that, right? There's like this housewife thing. But mm-hmm. when you're being realistic, it's like I was a 33-year-old
right.
who just went through a divorce. Like, why am I expected to have diamonds and this mansion? And it's supposed to be, the title is The Real Housewives. Like, being a real person, you know? And this is like—
But you spent all your money on those tracks. I mean—
I know. Seriously. Actually, the saddest part is I got those tracks for free. That should be— That's the crime. That's the real crime.
I'm sorry. I'm not surprised, but—
That's a crime.
If you had paid for them, I would have questions.
But I do think for sure with social media and everything, there is like this expectation that, you know, everything has to be perfect. Like, it's even weird nowadays. Like, if you go to someone's house, like people do have things white and perfect. And it's like, if you see laundry, it's like, that's a problem. And you know what I mean? Like, nobody's just like living normal lives in normal houses. And for sure, all of these people that I see that are like my peers that are all driving around in Range Rovers right. and there is no way that they can afford the lifestyle
Not all of them, no.
Not all of them. Some of them for sure.
Right.
But like majority of people, and I think it's a problem that we put this pressure on each other to have to go out and feel like we have to be in a BMW to matter, even though we can't afford it. I don't subscribe to it. Like, I just do what
unsubscribe.
I feel like.
Unsubscribe. It is interesting. I find that I am surprised that it's sort of an across the nation phenomenon, because I lived in LA in the early 2000s, and I certainly had major money dysphonia, and that was dysmorphia. that is something that I felt like LA really put on people, but that was before social media. So I guess everyone wasn't seeing it. All my friends my age then seemed to have so much.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point that I bought a place I couldn't afford, lost it, mm-hmm. bought a car I couldn't afford, lost it. And, you know, that was a huge kick in the nuts for me. I mean, honestly, one of the worst things I've ever been through was the sort of having to pull back the curtains and tell people I'm getting not evicted. My house is in foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think I live in this great place right in West Hollywood that I shouldn't have been able to afford. You know, I couldn't, mm-hmm. but it was at a time when they would let you sort of get.
Well, yeah, get by that was like before like a financial crisis. I understand that. Right. And that's part of the problem, right? Is like it's even now, even though it's so much harder with, you know, to get a mortgage and everything, because they've of course corrected
right.
that. But
right.
still, it's this idea that, okay, you're this young couple, you're going to buy a home for the first time. Just because you qualify for a $2 million house does not right. mean that you should be buying a $2 million
house. And by the way, it takes all the fun out of living there.
Because your house
when you can't afford it. I mean, I used to walk into that place and feel sick, because I was, you know, people would be like, oh, your place is so beautiful. And all I could think was, I have no idea how I'm going to pay the payment.
The burden of the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bury yourself. And then like what, it's sad because it's like, really, people aren't just thinking, I want this and I want it now and I want this to be my lifestyle, but they're not really thinking, look, I can get this and I will get this, mm-hmm. but how are you going to keep that? That's what you should be thinking about. Even the job you have today, if the job you have today provides you with financial security, take a minute to think about, are you going to have this same job in this same situation 10 years from now?
Right.
You might not. And like for me, that's something that I am very aware of and always thinking about and thinking about what I'm going to do. I would like to stop working eventually one day.
Yeah.
And I need money to be able to do that. So like to me, I would rather have a crappier car and live in a smaller environment and put 50 grand a year away for my retirement.
Right.
And I just would. And I know that that's the right decision. And I think it's like more people have to start thinking like that and realizing like, yeah, you might look flashy and fancy right now, but you know, this is a long, people used to, the life expectancy used to be so much shorter too. We don't die now.
No.
We're living forever.
I know. And we keep, you know, talking about it. Like, well, people are living so much longer. Somebody said the other day, talking about when I turn 100, I'm like, I don't know that I need to be 100.
Like, damn, I don't think I do, but I think I'm going to make it that long.
I think you probably will.
Yeah.
Because you kind of just seem like someone that will just go on.
Yeah.
you know,
to just annoy everybody. I'm going to be grandma that, like, you know, I'm on my deathbed for 20 years.
I hope the Housewives goes on that long and you're still dipping in.
I will be the oldest, longest running housewife ever.
Nobody will ever be older than Vicky.
My God, bless her
heart. Poor Vicky. Why do
I
say that?
Was interesting. I did think that was very...
Here's something crazy I saw in the news.
Okay.
Okay, it's about Taylor Swift.
Oh, I love that. Okay. I love anything T-Swift.
I mean, we're T-Swift crazy here.
We are.
So... I don't want to get into politics mm-hmm. because there's no use and people will just get pissed. Mm-hmm. But I just read, and it was on Jerry News on Instagram, which seems to be a reputable place. It's just it's a real news thing.
Oh,
it's
not, okay. It's not okay. Like,
it's
okay.
Not funny that a poll showed that 18% of Americans will vote the way Taylor Swift votes.
Stop it.
18%. So the question is whether or not she'll endorse a candidate.
That is wild. First of all, I just feel that maybe... I love Taylor. And actually, you know what? She seems like she's made some pretty sound decisions in her life. I don't know if it is... If you're going to follow a pop star... She's a good choice.
She's so much more than a pop star, yes. Clearly. But I just found it interesting at all because...
Oh, they'll follow her anywhere.
I mean, I think what people are forgetting in these elections, when they laugh her off, instead of shake it off, that all of her fans they've gotten older and they can vote now.
It's so like, true.
You know,
right.
That's a they've huge come number up with her. Of people... that have gotten into the voting pool.
Yeah, but, and all the moms.
But 18%.
That's wild.
So apparently it's
she,
a-
Do you know where she falls politically? Has she been vocal liberal. About it? Oh, she is, yeah. Okay.
And you know-
What about her boyfriend?
She hasn't, I don't know.
Because now people should be thinking-
It's a good question.
Her boyfriend is going to influence her, because that just happens, right? Yeah. I'm not saying in a negative, I just mean like who you're with, you know, factors
totally.
In. So I wonder.
It'd be interesting
to see where that goes.
Yeah. Well, what if there's a split
that
household?
That is insane that she like has, I mean.
That much influence.
But like, I do think she seems like a nice person. So maybe it's good that somebody who seems like a nice person has some influence.
Right.
Maybe we can make some
it'll be,
positive
it'll be
change.
Interesting to see if she decides to use it. I think a lot of times people have to just be quiet about their politics because of the sort of disarray that it creates and the anger.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's scary. Really does. Honestly, these days we're so divided that if she comes out one side or the other, there's a whole pissed off side of things. Yeah. However, I also think if you feel really passionately about something and you have that much influence, you might need to use it
for something good. I'm sure she'll like, honestly, that girl I feel like has just navigated through so many really hard situations very impressively, yeah. You know, and she's still on top and she's friggin' adorable, right?
Yeah, she's great.
I mean, she's
and
just
she's
so
the talent
and
is,
she's
you know.
I've said that from the very beginning when she was Tears on My Guitar.
Yeah.
That she was a child and yeah. She wrote that song and played the guitar and she hustled. She moved to Nashville to make, I mean, she's earned it all the way and yeah. She is sensational and she's a true performer and she's smart.
And there's been ups and downs. People remember
oh, yeah, she
there
tore,
were times
she's
where
torn up.
She has. And honestly,
she didn't let it get in her way.
She just kept going. And yes. I love that my daughter watches her. Also love
she's a good role model
her, she's a great role model mm-hmm. I mean look at even like her body consciousness like where she talks about in the past where she mm-hmm. has felt like she needed to be super thin or
right.
not and she doesn't really succumb to that now and I'm just so glad my daughter sees this healthy woman
yeah she is healthy
and she's gorgeous
yeah
and, but it you know I just think she's pretty great. I know a lot of people you know have Taylor Swift fatigue but I just found it interesting that 18%
it is
of
it's,
Americans
it's,
that's
yeah.
a remarkable number and it will when the presidential elections are as close as they have been in the past
oh yeah
few
she
rounds,
can move the needle
she will mm-hmm. move the needle if she decides to
Taylor Swift for president.
I mean we could do worse.
I mean, we have done worse. I mean, a lot of the time. That's like. Oh so, okay. We'll move on from that before
yes.
we get ourselves in trouble.
I know.
So what, if anything, now currently, what are you like watching on TV?
Oh,
what
I like
are
this.
You movies, television?
Well, it's
shows.
That time of year where I feel like because of the award cycle and stuff that, you know, that a lot of things come out.
So are you going to the Grammys?
I am going to the Grammys. Now, when we...
Are you up for a Grammy? Have you been nominated for a Grammy this year? I lose track because I know.
I have been.
Oh,
I'm nominated
gosh.
For two.
For what? When... Okay, for what? Oh, that's
so
incredible.
I'm nominated...
Actually, I knew that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about that, though.
I'm nominated for Songwriter of the Year, which is a new award.
Holy shit, Shane.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
It is. I'm really...
So this was never a category before?
Last year was the first time.
For Writer of the Year?
Yeah.
That's big time.
It
Shane.
Is.
That's like a really big
it's
deal.
It's all genre. So I'm up against like some incredible all Latin
genre?
Writer.
That's
I'm
tough.
Up against a huge pop writer, somebody that writes a lot of R&B.
Okay.
So it's cool. It's honestly just to be on that list.
No, it's.
I never say this because I'm always like, I want to win. And I do. But it truly is an honor to
yeah.
be nominated in that category because songwriters have not been, you know, lifted up in this way or championed in this way
mm-hmm.
where this is an award strictly for us.
Right.
You know, all the Grammys that I have so far are with my association.
Oh, with
an award. With an
artist.
Yeah, that I worked with.
So like, give me an example of one of them, the title of the award that you won, the Grammy that you won
of
in the history.
Of one country song of the year a
but
couple of times.
But you accept that. So accepting that award is the artist and
well,
you.
Well, because I wrote it with an artist.
Okay.
Casey Musgraves.
Oh, right.
Both times.
Okay.
And then, and yes, it's so it is my Grammy, but it says Casey Musgraves, Space Cowboy writer Shane McAnally,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And, you know, but in the past, that's the most a songwriter could hope for.
Mm.
So this, you know, award to just be the nominees,
what
just be the names
there?
Of the songwriters.
To like shift that.
Well,
like,
there's always been a producer of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why.
That seems even less.
Well, they've always done that. And I don't know if it's because in the past, when you go back to the 60s and 70s, a lot of the people who won Grammys were also the writers of their songs.
Mm.
Maybe. And they still are, but now it's collaborative. And so I think it's also the opportunity to acknowledge a body of work because I have things nominated this year in the country realm, in the Christian realm and in the theater.
Well, realm. I know that for shock.
Yeah. So because of the diversity, I think is why I was acknowledged. And I think that's cool because as songwriters do different things, people don't always know that we're doing so many things.
Yeah, you know? No, for sure. Yeah.
And
that's really exciting.
I know. I'm excited.
So when is that?
That's Sunday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
I'm nervous for you.
I know. Well, I will say I don't feel especially nervous. I do not. I've been so lucky. Not lucky. I worked for it and earned it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to win awards just because you work hard.
Yeah.
I've been lucky in that realm that I have been acknowledged a lot in you know, the award circuit. What's hard for me now is getting up the energy to actually get dressed and go.
Put on the tuxedo?
Yeah, I'm just not a dressy person. I mean, you know, this is dressy for me.
Was this an award that's announced there that you go
up? No, they'll give it before.
That's annoying.
I think they'll announce on the show, you know, they'll say earlier tonight
yeah,
an award
right.
was given. I think they'll do that. But it's still in the pre-tell. And, you know, that's okay. Look, we make little baby steps.
I mean, you're there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching from
home. I'm going to be sitting, I assume, right next to Beyonce, so... Look for me.
Can we talk about another powerhouse? And not to take it back to T-Swift, but like also the friendship between Beyonce and Taylor Swift is everything.
It's respect.
It's everything. I love it. I love that there was this toxic, like also like male energy that was like creating problems between them that
yeah,
really didn't exist.
No.
And now that that's like eliminating, they're like, hey girl, wait a minute. You're thriving. I'm thriving. And there's like this bond and this respect, like you said, in friendship. And I just think that is like so incredible. Like, Taylor Swift and Beyonce, vice president, president energy.
Yeah. And then you 100%. Have Adele, who also all along has been
Secretary
like,
of State.
Beyonce is
there's
her,
a whole cabinet
you know,
of powerhouse
she
women.
Really lifts Beyonce up. And I just think that is the best thing about those particular women being dominating.
Yeah.
You know, they really do.
World domination.
True, true.
Worldwide.
And them and Barbie.
And freaking Barbie. What do you think Barbie about?
Yeah. Your sweatshirt.
I know. My kids got me this. They said that I looked like ski Barbie. And I was like, this is the closest I'll ever get because I do not ski.
You don't? We just went skiing.
I can, like, down the bunny hill, but like, I'm not trying to get hurt. I would love to watch you skiing.
I feel like the outfit would look amazing.
I mean, I would be, my outfit would be on point.
Yeah.
For sure. But
what were you going to say about Barbie?
Oh, that, I love Barbie. I watched it like 5,000 times. I watch it like on the regular. I just love everything about it. But I was surprised that,
she didn't get acknowledged.
And Ryan Gosling did, which I loved him as Ken. I loved him as Ken. But there is a little bit of a pinch that I feel that the entire movie is about like this like feminism movement. And then the only one to get nominated is Ken.
Well, I will say just to point out, America Ferrera did get nominated too in the
supporting category. Deserves it. Yes.
But yeah, women.
But in the main roles.
I mean, it felt like such a snub. Yeah. I mean, what were they thinking?
Well, because also it's not that, look, I don't think you should just give a prize to give a prize.
Well, first of all, her performance was fantastic.
And
look what Greta Gerwig did to write that and to make Barbie relevant, to make Barbie have a message when everybody thought this will be, just frothy.
Loosey-goosey.
I just am so impressed with that movie, and it is complete bullshit. I think it is what you just said. It's proving the case of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is women have to do so much more and accept so much less.
Yeah.
And, maybe when things like that happen, I have to hope that it means it continues to just add energy to it and saying, look, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that when people see the movie and they say, what do women have to complain about? Well, then this happens. And it's like, look,
I mean,
we're showing you.
Right. Just open your eyes. Like, just look at what has happened here. And I do think... I hope Ryan Gosling wins. I think he's phenomenal. I do think he created such a lovable Ken, and he's just—
Oh my God, he makes me
laugh.
It's
so endearing. Just he's so him. Hysterical but, and but naturally
doesn't it
funny.
Also make it hard for him to celebrate the nomination when they didn't
right,
get it?
Right, because it's weird.
It's hard.
And it's weird. Yeah. And he probably feels guilty about it now, which was like the opposite of what he clearly was trying to do there. And Ryan Gosling is obviously, he's with Eva Mendes, and you can tell their marriage is phenomenal, and you can tell that they love each other, and you can tell that he is a feminist. I mean, you could tell he's
absolutely
a feminist. So like for him, it's probably is a really weird position for him to be in.
Well, he actually quoted, he said something about there wouldn't be no Ken without Barbie.
Without Barbie.
And there would be no Ken without Greta Gerwig writing this incredible part
right
for him. It's so confusing to me. They must have just been, it almost doesn't even feel like the morning of that you would be heartbroken as much as you would be like, what?
Yeah, like, right.
And it's hard. Did you see what Hillary Clinton said?
No. What did she say?
Oh, it was such a cool, it was like, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the extent of, it's hard because the movie made so much money.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's hard when the numbers are all on your side, but you still don't win.
And right. There's all the statistical data is there.
It's the same with her. I mean,
right,
she won by 2 million votes, but she still didn't get to be president. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's really weird
to say, because that is it's very similar. And it also was saying, we have a long way to go, but you guys added to, the front lines. You're still there. You're still
moving the needle in the right direction, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's never going to be anybody else who could ever come through and do Barbie the way that Margot Robbie did Barbie. I mean, she is Barbie.
She's Barbie.
And she's also the Birds of Prey one, too.
I know, right?
She's awesome. Like,
she was
think
Tonya
she's
Harding.
So great. She was Tonya Harding. She's so many people. Look at her go.
She definitely has Academy Awards in her future. And I think 100%. She's already been nominated before, but she certainly
deserved it. Yeah, it feels a little wrong.
Yeah. And I don't know who, it's hard when you start talking about snubs, because then you go, well, then who shouldn't have gotten it? And I don't have an opinion about that. I just know that I think she should have.
Me too. Yeah. I think she should have.
So are you? Have you seen any of these Academy Award nominated movies? By the time people hear this, the Academy Awards would have happened.
I mean, I'm like, go Margot Robbie. Meanwhile, I don't know anyone else who was nominated.
Yeah. So you so are you somebody that like avidly watches those kind of movies?
I watch them, but I don't think that I know. I watch a lot of movies, but I don't think I know, have been keeping up more recent years with who actually is like at the finish line getting these
did
awards.
Did you watch Oppenheimer?
Yes, loved Oppenheimer.
You loved it. I did too.
It was very good.
That's a big front runner.
Very good.
In all
good.
The awards. There's a movie called Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay, I just watched the preview. What? But is that related to Anatomy of a Scandal?
I don't think so.
Okay, because there was Anatomy of a Scandal and now it's Anatomy of a Fall.
No, this is, I don't think this is a true story.
Okay.
They didn't say that it was.
That he fell out the window,
yes.
Right? I know, I'm going to watch that actually, I think, this weekend.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
But
I like
but,
weird movies,
But
though.
It's good. Did you see the movie that Annette Bening was the swimmer in, Naiad?
No.
Really, really good. I would suggest that. That is a true story. Jodie Foster's in that one.
I'm going to watch, how about I'll watch them all.
Did you see Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, but I thought about watching
it's
it
great.
Solid three times.
It's great. I highly recommend. That's probably my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Let me go back and watch, and then I'll have.
I mean, Barbie was like
my
most entertaining.
You know why
movie
I'm not
year,
watching those? Because I'm watching Barbie
over and over,
over and over and over.
Right.
Again. I'm not even joking.
If you take a break from Barbie, watch Killers of the Flower
Moon.
I
will. And you know what really is the biggest snub by far in probably the history of all the Oscars is how Weird Barbie has not been nominated because
I know.
My God.
So great. She's so great.
So weird. And so amazing.
She is so good.
And everybody had a weird Barbie.
I know. That's what I loved was when everybody's reaction in the theater was like, oh my God, I had a weird Barbie.
It is weird Barbie. She's just so phenomenal. I can't even take it. It's incredible.
Well,
and you know what I'm watching now, though? We just started watching, because me and Travis always have like one series that we're binging.
Yeah.
So we literally just watched the first episode of The Diplomat with Kerry Russell.
Oh.
It is so good.
Really?
Yes. Like, I cannot wait to get home tonight.
Okay.
To literally watch the next episode, because the first episode left on a cliffhanger, and it's very good.
We just finished Fargo, which we've loved every Fargo season. They're unconnected, the seasons you can watch.
Oh, okay.
And,
I like
and
that.
And this season
yeah.
had Jon Hamm and Juno Temple, who's the woman from Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I love her.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's,
okay.
It's fantastic. All the Fargos have been great. If you haven't seen them, every season is special, and we love that show. And now
is it
we're
related to the movies, like the movie Fargo.
It's in the same area.
Okay.
And they're always sort of.
Is that what it is? Fargo is a place.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
And they all have that funny accent, and
love it.
It's and then we just started True Detective. Which is Jodie Foster this season.
It's, I can't, like, to me still, True Detective, the first one.
Yeah.
It stayed with me, on me for like
is that
a
the
really
McConaughey,
long time.
Woody Harrelson?
Yeah. I just,
I didn't watch it.
Even now, oh, don't do it. Because okay. You know what? It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there's scenes in it that to this day,
yeah.
I just have, it's horrifying.
I have that in common with you in that I can't justify to my own body watching something that just because I know it's going to be artistically great, but it really messes me up.
Because also you know that like it's so fucked up, but like fucked up shit like that actually happens in the world. And so then when you let your brain go there, it's like, it's tough to move past it. So, and it was just done so well that it's felt so real.
Right.
And it's so you got to be in a good mental state to watch
it. I do think the new season, the Jodie Foster season, it feels at this point a little more outrageous in that it doesn't feel so real.
Mm.
It's great, but it's so strange that half the time I'm like, is that possible? Could that have happened? So that's good for me if it stays in a little bit of that
right,
world.
Right, because, right, it is better. That I actually do like it too, because you're like, this can never happen. That's a stretch, da-da-da. But then you can go to bed at night.
You know what's weird that on Fargo, I have to point out something that they do on Fargo that's annoying to me, and they do it every season. They put based on a true story, and then they tell the they do a disclaimer that's like, but because of, in respect of the dead, the names have been changed. But the truth is, they're not true. Mm. And I'm really annoyed that they can do that now, that they can put based on a true story, not even based on a true story, that it says the events happen just exactly as they're told. It's not real. You can look it up and the stories aren't real, but it's actually to add to the sort of drama of it. And I didn't know that they could do that.
They can. That's kind of crazy.
I agree. I don't like that about it, because what's happening is that you retell the story and it's like, no, that didn't actually happen. And I think because of the way the movie is shot, they expect that you kind of understand, or that mm-hmm. the series is shot, that you understand that it's so ridiculous it couldn't have happened. But no, if it says it's based on a true story, as far as I'm concerned, that should mean it.
Right.
It's like journalism now, where you're like, is this just for entertainment?
Right.
But that's the only thing about that show.
I actually wish that they would start putting like based on a true story before every episode of Housewives. Because it's sort of like, look, this is my real life, but it's manipulated real life. You know what I mean?
That's
so like,
really...
it would be helpful if they wrote that, because then people wouldn't have these like intense perspectives about who we are and the things we said and the things they, but she said this and you said that back. And it's like, yeah, but there was also 45 minutes of conversation in between that that you didn't see.
I was just describing to someone who doesn't watch those shows, because of you and I's relationship, they mm-hmm. were like, is it scripted? And I said, this is how I would describe it. And tell me if this is why it seems so heightened compared to real life. Because if it was truly just real, it wouldn't be very interesting.
Right.
So this is what I said. The way Gina seems to present it to me is, these are real relationships. Mm-hmm. These are real conversations and real things that are happening. Where it gets heightened is that maybe you and I would be joking and we might say, oh my God, did you see what Emily wore? Mm-hmm. And we might say that because she's our friend and we're just being funny and it's not even that bad. Mm-hmm. But then you go to Emily and you say, Shane was talking about what you were wearing. Mm-hmm. Something you would never do in real life. Mm-mm. That's where it breaks off mm-hmm. from reality, is because you're doing it differently to start another conversation and have, I don't want to say to create conflict, but you're certainly, you're adding fire to something. And it never surprises anyone on your show when someone says, well, Shannon told me, because the truth is, if you went and told Shannon something I said, I would be like, Gina,
right?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
But y'all never do that.
Well, because we understand now. I think they used to do that to each other.
Yeah.
And then they kind of got through that part of it, because now it's like,
that's
we
just,
all understand that the expectation, and that we know the boundaries. And we also know, like, if it's, you know, there's like the personal story, and the personal story is usually directly linked to like real, rooted in real things that are going on
totally.
In your real life.
Right.
And those things, like, you don't as much go and deliver messages and whatever. But then there's like the pettiness that's between us. And like, yeah, it's like you find out something here, you go to the next place, you deliver that message. And meanwhile, that's been strategically set up for you guys to meet. And you're also simultaneously kept away from the person who told you the information in the first place.
Right.
And then you're only going to see that person again after you've delivered that message. And then you all come together at like an all cast event where you're all together and it comes to a head. That's just something that has to happen, because it's a show and there's progression of information.
Totally.
And it's sensational and it's more dramatic. And yeah, in real life, if any of these people said these things, a lot of them, I just simply wouldn't show up to that brunch. I'd just be like, I'm good. Thank
right.
you. You know,
right.
but I'm going to go, because it's part of it. But like, honestly, the good thing is this year, I do feel I'm authentically, genuinely either friends with or have at least authentic, genuine relationships, even if they're not good relationships, with most of these women.
Yeah.
And we really are a group of friends. You know what I mean? We don't all see the same way, like each other, even whatever, but like we have a lot of history.
That helps.
So like this year for sure, it feels really like this is going to be a really good season. Because there's already so many things going on that like
we're pissing
each other off already. Like, and it's real.
How far into filming are you?
2 weeks.
Well, I want to get
I've already pissed off someone.
I want to get into all that. Let's we're coming to the end of our time here.
We gotta wrap it up.
But let's know that this is our own version of a cliffhanger, because we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about what's going on this season as much as we can. I have some questions.
I'm sure you do.
But it's good to just see you and to have a minute to catch up, which is what everybody got to hear. This was so real because we tried not to talk when we walked into the studio because we hadn't seen each other.
It's
like, we're not going to say a word. We're just going to sit down, even though we really want to like hug each other.
Talk about everything. Yeah.
So welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It is.